You have seen the situation that I'm about to describe. It is a hypothetical situation, meaning that I have no specific individuals past or present in mind. Yet what I describe fits too many Christians, past and present. Our hypothetical situation, two people. They attend the same church. They're about the same age. They sit in the same Sunday school classes. They listen to the same sermons. If they were young people, they go to and attend the same youth group. They receive very similar Christian instructions in their homes. One lives for the Lord. One lives for self. Now, the one who lives for self is probably not the town's worst sinner, but he's certainly not the town's best example of Jesus Christ. Now, why is this? What's the difference? Comparable people? Comparable mentalities? Comparable home structures? Just everything is very similar. Obviously cannot be identical, but very similar. Open, if you will, please, to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, because it tells us what the difference is. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. The key is that Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel and his three friends, which we'll read about them here in a couple of minutes. Daniel and his three friends were not the only ones who were taken from Israel by King Nebuchadnezzar. As a matter of fact, we'll go now to verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring, now watch who he is instructed to bring, certain of the children of Israel. Now, many young men were taken captive, but the king's instruction was bring certain ones. We'll see what qualified them as certain ones, okay? Bring certain ones. And one of the qualifications is certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed. Now that caught my attention. It says of the king's seed and of the princes. Well, now it couldn't be King Nebuchadnezzar because these were Israelites who were taken captive. So it would have been a king of Israel, some of his offspring. Now, we find that this, where it says the king's seed, is a fulfillment of prophecy. One, is, and we're not going to turn to it, but one of the prophecies is in Isaiah 39, verse 7. The other one is in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 17 and 18. Both of them refer to a time when the king's offspring would be taken captive. We're reading about that now in Daniel. So these were not rank and file. These were individuals with particular, and we're going to read it even more, particular abilities and skills. These were individuals of what we might call today high caliber. And so, verse 8 begins with a word of contrast. Daniel 1:8. What's the first word? Tell me out loud.
But.
You see, there were all these young men that were taken captive. there were certain of them that the king wanted to be dealt with, as we're going to read here, and he had wanted them to be dealt with for particular reasons, but Daniel purposed in his heart. You see, here were four young men, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, we generally know, we know Daniel by his Jewish name, Daniel. He was given the name Belshazzar. Okay? We don't generally, you know, we know that name, but we don't think of Daniel as Belshazzar. But we do know the three young men by their Chaldean names, Hananiah, Shadrach, and Meshach. And Mishael, Abednego, yeah, there we go. They got a couple extra names thrown in there. I don't know what they're there for. They're not in the song that I learned it by. Okay, that's who we know the three from. But they were Jewish. They had Jewish names, as verse 6 says. And so, you see, here were four young men who grew up under the same influence, the same instruction that the other Israelites who were taken captive. They went to the same synagogues. They had the same law that their parents would observe. They had the same Sabbath observations. They went through all of that same stuff together. And but these four, they made a difference. And what made the difference was the desire to do right. But not just the desire to do right. You hear this one, please. Not just the desire to do right, the determination to do right. In your Christian life, you can desire to do what pleases God. But if you fail to purpose in your heart, if you fail to determine that in your daily living you're going to do right, you'll do wrong.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Just like these other certain ones from the children of Israel. You see, it is not the desire to do something that achieves it. It is the determination, the commitment, the purposing to do it.
Yes, sir.
Now, we've heard of Randy. I mean, I just, you know, I step here. Usually Randy's hidden behind the post. Okay, I know you're here, Randy, but usually I don't see you. But I step this way and I see you. What have we heard? We've heard good reports from Pastor about Randy and his work ethic and his... Why is that? Just because he desires to do it? Well, he has that, but he's got more than that. He's determined.
That's exactly.
He's going to do there at Crown Y what his boss tells him to do. Mm-hmm. It isn't always what the others do, and we're going to see that come into the illustration
right
here. Okay,
sure.
But it's the fact that he determines he's going to do what the boss tells him to do. Now, you can take that into your life. You can take that. We just started school not long ago. Boy, you desire to pass, don't you? I have never met somebody who says, boy, I hope I flunk. No, you all desire to pass. You desire to learn. But that's not gonna, achieve it. You've got to make a determination. You've got to make a commitment for whatever is necessary in order to be able to learn.
Yes,
now, that probably will mean homework. Oh, I love this. I love this illustration. My kids would bring homework home, and they'd say, you know, I'd say, did you get your homework done? They'd say, yes. Then I love this one. I'd say, did you learn it? Because, you see, and most students think that the goal is just to do the homework. No. The goal is to learn what the homework's about.
Good.
And you know, it is not the teacher's goal to aggravate your evening.
It's,
positive, okay? Positive. It is, the goal is where you must determine to do what's right. And if you don't, you will fail in anything. I will fail in anything if I don't determine. I have the things that I struggle with. I have the difficulties that I must face. Yeah, right, sure, you know. What do you do? What are you struggling with pot? Yeah, that's it. That you figured it out. I'm struggling with marijuana. On the way home tonight, we're going to pull over up in the square, and a guy's going to come up to the car and hand me a little ambient. No. Now, there's a lot of things that I share, okay? I don't do that, for one, okay? I mean, let's just get that clear. That was an illustration. But there are things that I struggle with. Same way there's some things that you struggle with that you don't want. No.
Absolutely.
And no need of saying, I can't hear you, fortunately. So the other young men were capable. They were promising young men. They had desires, but their personal desires meant more to them than pleasing God. It is my opinion, and I'm emphasizing that word opinion. It is my opinion that these other young people, referred to in verse 3, these other young people did not want to displease God. Really, I believe you've gone to them, the ones that were selected out of the king's seed. I don't believe you'd have found them to say, yeah, I want to displease Jehovah. Yeah, I want to make our God of Israel upset with me. No, that wouldn't have been. I believe, it's my opinion, that they did not want to displease God. But the appeal of the immediate satisfaction meant more to them than the purposing in their heart to please God. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, it says, children, these children specified in verse 3, children, and children there doesn't mean 9, 10, 11 years old, okay? Children, I mean, good night. Dale is his mother's child. Now we look at Dale and we don't think of child. Nobody's mother does, okay? And in this case, the children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, they were skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. This is the caliber of the men, certain men that were selected, and whom they might teach, and here is the situation, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Teach them the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Popular, commonly accepted things where they were now living. Wow, what an opportunity to learn. I mean, here they were, captive in Babylon, and the Chaldeans, they were going to tell them, and we were going to give you an opportunity to learn these things. But opportunity is not always of benefit. You have got to realize that just because something is an opportunity by the standards of society in which we live, it does not mean that that opportunity is valuable in your life as a Christian.
That's good.
Christians need to have a desire and a determination to please God. That's the bottom line. And it's not always easy to discern that, because we are in the world, but what does the Bible tell us? We're not to be part of the world. Now in verse 5, And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat. I mean, they didn't eat just any old thing. They ate what the king ate. And of wine, which he drank. Now, you know, we're not talking hard liquor. We're not talking proof liquor here. This is what they had, okay, by way of their daily beverage. Now, I'm for total abstinence, okay? But you see, we can go even to our tap water. Even if you live in the city, you can go to the tap water and drink it. They didn't have tap water that they could drink, okay? And so so they ate and what the king ate. They had the wine, which the king drank, and so nourishing them, watch this, so nourishing them 3 years. Okay, this is what they were going to eat and take care of for 3 years. And at the end thereof, at the end of the 3 years, they were going to stand before the king. And I would imagine he was not just going to look at them, though they certainly should have looked stronger, healthier than the rank and file that were taken captive and given who knows what to eat. Now, verse 6. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so, and the eunuchs gave them these other names. And but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And the prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, oh yeah, that verse 9, you see that says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Boy, I wish God had favored me. I wish God had looked on me like he did on Daniel. Well, he probably would if he knew we were going to purpose like Daniel did.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. We want to blame God.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
Why doesn't God favor me? Yeah. Why doesn't God do for me like he did for him, like he did for her? Well, maybe, you see, we know it's true here. God knew that Daniel was going to do right. God knew that Daniel was going to purpose in his heart. And so the prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, and your who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? In other words, if you don't eat what he told you to eat, you're going to look pale and emaciated compared to these other guys that are eating what they should. Then you know, this prince of the eunuchs, he's got his own neck on the line. Notice what it says then. Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Oh, this is great. You don't want to religiously do your thing, but when you do your thing, it's going to cause me to lose my head. That's what it's about, okay? Verse 11. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee. Watch this. How many years were they going to eat what the king gave them?
Three
years. Prove thy servant, I beseech thee, 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. 10 days, then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenances of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat. As thou seest, deal with thy servants. He said, just let us eat what our laws tell us we may eat. And let us then, after 10 days, now the king wanted them on it for 3 years. Daniel says, let's just take 10 days. They'll eat their thing, what you give them, for 10 days. We're going to eat what God tells us we can eat for 10 days, and then you can compare us. Well, we know the outcome of the story, don't we? We know that Daniel and his three friends turned out much better after Now, why was that? In just 10 days. I believe in 10 days God worked what may have taken 3 years under other circumstances. But regardless of the timing aspect of it, we know that when they obeyed God, God made it work.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Why would we think that God would not make it work for us when we obey God?
Come on.
In our life today.
Come on.
Has God changed?
No.
No, he hasn't. And yet we make decisions thinking that somehow God can't do today for us what he needs to do.
Come on.
I remember when Audie had a prayer request regarding she was going to contact her boss about not working on Sunday and Wednesday night. That was the arrangement when she started, and the boss just slipped and started assigning her more and more. And Audie knew that it could mean that if this contact hit the boss on the wrong side of bed or in the wrong mood, she could be without a job. Was that the outcome? No, it wasn't the outcome. Why? Because God was able to work on Audie's part.
That's good.
When for somebody else's part, it would. Now listen, you have to have the conviction Audie had. You can't go to your boss based on what Audie did. You have to go to your boss based on what you believe. Now, are you going to be like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Or are you going to be like all those others? How God works is going to depend on what we purpose in our heart. Now, what was wrong with this food? As I said, this, by the standards of that day, would have been the best food.
Yeah.
I mean, by today's standard, they'd have been eating prime rib.
Yeah.
New York strip steak. Baked potatoes. Okay. Probably some jalapeno peppers sprinkled on that. Potato, okay? I mean, this was going to be good food. What was wrong with it? It was against God's word. That's what Daniel said. We need to eat what God tells us to eat. And no amount of rationalization would change that. What was wrong with the king's meat was not the meat in itself. But what was wrong for a Jewish young man was that it was against God's word. And no matter what the others rationalized to make it acceptable, it didn't change the fact of what God's word said.
Good. Yes, sir.
Now, the parable of the sower and the seed, that's in Luke. Chapter 8, and I had a marker there so I could get to it quickly. Luke chapter 8, and I'm looking at verse 14. Then that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. You see, the majority of these select young men, capable and skilled, their problem is that when the opportunities of the day, the cares, the riches, the enjoyments, when that was presented to them, they chose that rather than like four who chose God's way.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's why you can have two people growing up in the same church in similar situations, and one turns out for God and the other doesn't. There's nothing wrong with the church. There isn't anything wrong even with the family. You know, I know sometimes the way we hit the importance of what we do as a family can leave a person that does everything exactly the way they believe they ought to. It can leave you still feeling guilty. But no, listen. Here, we got four kids. They're going to each decide. They will have grown up in the same house. They're going to the same church. Now we got two kids over here. They grew up in the same church. They grew up in the same family. They'll have gone through the same Sunday school classes. Boy, and I don't like to think of either of them or any of them not living for the Lord. I mean, I just can't carry that illustration far enough, but we know that we've seen that happen. We've seen that happen. And it all comes back to what the individual purposes to do. This message is for the person who, though lacking determined desire, is still sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're sitting here and you don't have that determination that Daniel had, but you're still sensitive to the Spirit of God speaking to your heart. Still responsive to what ought to be. Still sincere about what God wants. And to you, I'll say this, and then I'll have to finish this out next time I preach. To you who are still sensitive, is give up. Okay? Give up. And let God control. Because that's what Daniel... Don't think that Daniel didn't have temptation. Don't think that this was a snap for Daniel. Don't think that his three friends, you know, didn't see the allurements of what the others decided to go with. Don't think that somehow Daniel was holier than you are, and therefore it was easy for him. No, Daniel had an old nature just like you and I have. But when he had to make a choice, he made the right choice. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd help us, each as an individual, in the given area that we need to make the right choice. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go to our prayer room.